I invite you, please, to open your Bible with me in the first book of Chronicles. First Chronicles in chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. And we're reading at verse 9. Just two verses. Verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. And amen, God always blesses to us the reading from his sacred word. Cairnbolg is a little village on the outskirts of Fraserburgh in northeast Scotland, a little fishing village. God graciously visited that village some time ago, many years ago as a matter of fact, through the ministry of James McKendrick and Jock Troop and other great men of God at that particular time. As a matter of fact, so great was the revival that is in many other villages in northeast Scotland, just about everyone in the village was converted. However, those days were the days of great immigration to the United States of America, and one family that left that little village settled in the United States, and out of that family came a man known as Bruce Wilkinson. Bruce Wilkinson is the founder of Walk Through the Bible Ministries in the United States of America, and he currently is serving God in Johannesburg, South Africa. However, back in 1997 or 1998, Bruce Wilkinson was invited to the Northwest United States to conduct a mission near to the Multnomah Bible School. While there, the Multnomah people suggested that he might put the series of messages that he was preaching into print. And so it was on that occasion, he decided to preach on the prayer of Jabez. Multnomah, when they published the sermon, they published 7,000 copies. It was published as a giveaway to those who were at the conference at that particular time. But so popular was the little book that there was great demand for it, and they published another 20,000 copies. On the third run of the book, they published 70,000 copies. Today, there are over 7 million copies of that little book in print. Bruce Wilkinson, perhaps, is the man who put the name of Jabez before the American public, and some people say that he is the man who brought America to their knees, teaching them how to pray. I introduce you this morning to this man, Jabez. His name is found in these opening chapters of the book of Chronicles, and incidentally, dare I say this morning that I know that 1 Chronicles is not necessarily one of your favorite books of the Bible. As a matter of fact, perhaps like myself, you find this book hard to read because the first 9 chapters are just taken up with genealogies, and genealogies are not the easiest thing to read. As a matter of fact, someone has said that it's easier to read a telephone directory than to read these genealogies, simply because, at least in the telephone directory, you can pronounce the names. When you come to these unpronounceable names, some of them are, it becomes difficult, heavy, boring. D.L. Moody, incidentally, when he was preaching and he came to a name as he read the scriptures, a name that he found difficult to pronounce, he would stop on one side of the name and make a comment about the portion and then take up the reading again on the other side of the word, and he just got by it that way. And yet I say to you this morning that in the midst of all these long genealogies where we have the repetition of so many names, yet we come in this little oasis about this man called Jabez. He appears almost as a sort of meteorite on the firmament of Holy Scripture. And just like a meteorite, if you blink, you would miss it. And yet I say to you this morning, if you miss this man Jabez, you miss so much. For God has punctuated this portion of Scripture by distinguishing this particular man, and I feel calls us to pay attention to him. As a sort of preamble into this man Jabez this morning, there are some things I think we should underline, and yet they're quite obvious. The first one of which is simply to say that Jabez seems to have been a special man in his day. We read these words in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That is, my friend, that in his generation, it seems to be that he was able to stand head and shoulder above his peers. He distinguished himself at that particular time and didn't conform to society, but why, the Bible reminds us that he was more honorable than his brethren. I say that this morning because let's remember that Jabez lived at a time when kings were building their empires, captains were capturing foreign countries, rich men were building their wealth, increasing their wealth. The students of that time were increasing their knowledge. And yet in the process of time, the names of kings and of conquerors and of the intelligent and the wise of that time, my friend, they've melted away into the oblivion of nothing, and we know nothing about them. But the name of Jabez lives on. Do you know what it teaches me? It teaches me, my friend, that here is a man who in his generation made his life count for God. He did not waste his life. And it teaches me that time will make a difference to all of us. I say that this morning, if I could put it this way, 140 years ago, in the British government at that particular time, there was a cabinet minister by the name of James Taylor. He was a prominent man in his day, a man of great influence at his particular time, influence in Queen Victoria's government of that day. And as I say, he hit the headlines around the corner, around the country. But obviously, we've never heard of James Taylor. But away in a Yorkshire dale, there was a young man who didn't enjoy very good health. But even as a boy, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and dedicated his life to know the Savior. And as a young man, as a chemist, he dedicated his life to take the gospel to people who had never heard the name of Jesus before. That young man became a missionary in China, not only to China, following in the steps of a great man called Morrison, John Morrison, but he wanted to go to inland China. The name of that boy was Hudson Taylor. And I think we all know the name of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor, that great missionary pioneer who in his day, he did not waste his life. Don't you see what I mean? 100 years would make a difference. For those, my friend, who live for themselves, that name will fall into oblivion. For those who seek perhaps political aims or secular aims, those names might forever pass away. But we say in the little maxim, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And 100 years' time will not matter what house we lived in or how much money we had in the bank. But as the book of Corinthians says, the day shall declare. Jabez was a special man in his generation. However, just looking at this portion of Scripture, you will not be surprised to learn and to know that Jabez was not only a special man in his generation, but Jabez most certainly was a sorrowful man. It is a bit ironic that although it says that he was more honorable than his brethren, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." It's very interesting that the name Jabez just simply means vexation. It means pain. Can any of you mothers ever understand why? Why a mother having a child should ever call that child pain? No, you might call it a pain at times, but you would never give it the name of being a pain. It suggests to me, my friend, that here is a woman who gave this name of pain, vexation, distress to this child simply because there was something about the arrival of this child that spelt out distress and sorrow. I think it is something that went beyond the normal pain of childbirth. Could it be, and with this we speculate this morning, could it be that the circumstances that pressed in upon the mother at that time with the arrival of this child made her call that child vexation, distress? I say that this morning, and here we speculate. Could it be the pain of widowhood? Could it be that here was a child who was born into a family where the father had died? And in that sorrowful, sore situation, here's this woman with a baby in her hands. I say that this morning because only those who pass through the pain of widowhood, and especially young widowhood, know exactly what it's like. And my friend, this morning, even as we read this portion of Scripture, perhaps you can identify exactly with the mother of Jabez at that particular time. It was the pain of widowhood. Perhaps. Dare I say this morning? Could it be that she called him Jabez, not so much because of widowhood, but because of single parenthood? She was a single parent. I say that this morning because as you read this portion of Scripture in these genealogies, you generally read the name of the father and the father. But when you come to Jabez, you just read the name of the mother. My friend, may I just remind you, the single parenthood is nothing new. Single parenthood is in our society today. And those of us who know the Savior, my friend, we dare not bury our heads and work and talk as if it didn't exist. There are needy people all around our society today. Yesterday we were speaking at the opening of the new home down there, the extension to the CEF home in Kilkeel. And one of the things we were speaking about was when Jesus was in the house, the Bible tells us the great company had pressed into the house so much that there was no room. But the paralytic, the man who needed to be on the inside, he was on the outside. And we were thinking, isn't that so much like church today? So often, my friend, we gather into the Lord's house, the right place, a good place to be, but oftentimes the neediest people are on the outside. And we need to get them to Jesus Christ. Here is a boy born into a home. Perhaps the mother is a widow, or perhaps she is a single parent, or perhaps she has been abandoned. We don't know what the circumstances were. But we do know this, that although by the first birth he was greatly disadvantaged, his mother called his name Sorrowful. Thank God, by the second birth, he was able to rise above the sorrow and become a special man. It teaches me this, my friend. It doesn't matter what your background may be, what you might have come from this morning. It doesn't disqualify you when it comes to seeking God or being used of God. Because the man who was most honorable, more honorable than all of his brethren, he got started on the wrong foot. I don't know where you are this morning or what your circumstance may be, but remember this, my friend. God can take us out of the ashes of our own sorrow and of our own failure and of the mess of our lives and lift us up to make us something for him. Here is a man who was not only a special man, and it is true, a sorrowful man, but may I just remind you that here is a man who was a supplicating man. We read these words, and listen to the irony of this. He was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez because she bare him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the name of the Lord. Could it be, my friend, that the pressure of the circumstances, the very pressure of bearing the name Jabez, made him a man of prayer? Incidentally, isn't that oftentimes how we learn to pray? It is not so much in the prayer meeting that we learn to pray, although that's a great place to be. But oftentimes, my friend, when God puts us on our back or puts us into a corner or we feel the pressure of circumstance, it is then, out of suffering, that we call upon the name of the Lord. And here is a man who, out of his sorrow, begins to pray. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way. Here is a man who did not seek to escape his sorrows. Here is a man who did not even try to endure his sorrows. But here is a man who enlisted and employed his sorrows and made them teach him to pray. What is the circumstance that bears upon you today? My friend, if it takes us to the place of prayer, it's a good thing. I don't know if many of you read the Daily Light. We do in our home every morning. The verse at the top of the page of Daily Light today is simply this: it was good for me to be afflicted. And sometimes it is a good thing. Jabez, it is true, was a supplicating man. Incidentally, many of you, I don't know if you've heard of a missionary who went to India many years ago. His name was John Hyde. When John Hyde went to India to see India with its millions, teeming millions of peoples, trying to reach the people in the villages, preaching the gospel, but because of the multitudes, he was so overwhelmed, he couldn't do it. Not by preaching. And John Hyde, the missionary to India, decided that besides his preaching, he would give more time to prayer. As a matter of fact, so addicted and dedicated to the place of prayer was John Hyde that he became known as Praying Hyde. And Praying Hyde won thousands of people to Jesus Christ. Listen, not by his preaching, but yes, by his praying. Could it be that's exactly how it was for this man? He was made more honorable than his brethren because on his knees he was taught to stand tall. Beloved, today sometimes prayer is the last thing we do. I think it was Vance Havner who said, "The situation in our land today is serious. It demands prayer, but God's people are not serious about prayer." He was a supplicating man. And dare I say it this morning, very simply this, that here is a man who was a successful man, because we just read this: God granted him that which he requested. Incidentally, if God was to grant you the thing for which you're asking at the moment, what would that thing be? Would it be to the benefit of the church? Would it be to the blessing of the neighborhood? You see, here is a man who had goals, and as he aimed at those goals, my friend, he took it to God in prayer and held on to God in prayer, and God granted him that for which he's requested. Incidentally, for mothers and fathers who are praying for prodigal sons and daughters today, keep on praying. God still grants that which we request. God still answers prayer. Now, what we've said about this man as a sort of preamble into the man really takes us to the prayer of this man, Jabez. He was a special man, a sorrowful man, a supplicating man, a successful man. But when we come to verse 10 gives to us just something of the prayer of this man. And when you read this prayer, my friend, you're impressed. Let's just read it today. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Not a very long prayer. But I suggest to you, my friend, prayer should not be measured by length. The prayers of the Bible should be weighed for meaning. And if you were to with me this morning, just look at this prayer. He was asking four basic petitions. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that their hand will be upon me, and that you will keep me from evil. Think of those this morning. If we think of them this morning in this way, first of all, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Here was Jabez praying for the enrichment of blessing. Some people suggest that perhaps at that particular time he was starting out on a new venture. Others said it's not so much a new venture, it was, chronologically speaking, the beginning of a new year, the Jewish New Year. And as he stood on the threshold of the year, or as he stood on the threshold of a new mission, whatever it might be, my friend, the first thing he did was to ask for the blessing of God. Do I speak to someone this morning, and God has called you to a particular work, and you stand on the threshold of a challenge today? It's a great thing to seek the blessing of God. As a matter of fact, if you read this portion of Scripture, you will find that in the prayer, in his prayer for blessing, he gave priority to asking for blessing. As you read here, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Before he was asking for enlargement, he was asking for enrichment. My friend, may I just remind you that there is no real growth without grace. There is no real enlargement without enrichment from above. As a matter of fact, as you look at this prayer of Jabez, you will find that as he prayed for the enrichment of grace, first of all, it was a prayer that he had not only given priority. He sees the work. It wasn't just enlarging and getting involved in the work. He was asking God to come down and bless this work. Incidentally, he was praying for blessing. Oh, that you would bless me. When you think of it, it's very difficult to pray without using the word bless. When I read my Bible, I find that God blessed Noah, and God blessed Abraham, and God blessed Moses, and God blessed David. God blessed the little children. And yet their needs were also different. I mean, Noah's need was different from Abraham's, and Abraham from Moses, and Moses from David. And David most certainly from the little boys and girls. Blessing is a very hard word to tie down or sum up. But as I look at this range of people, that is Abraham and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and the little children, God bless them all. My friend, just as all their needs were different, listen, it is their individual needs met by the sufficiency and the riches of God when God comes down. If I could put it this way, my friend, this morning, here is a man who feels the emptiness of a soul, the paucity of blessing in his life. And he comes to God in all of his emptiness and he says, oh God, that you would bless me. Listen, it is God coming down in his fullness to meet us in our weakness and emptiness. The blessing of God. And the thing about this man is simply this, that here is a man who was blessable. Here is a man who had got himself to the place where he had no confidence in the flesh. Did we not say he was empty, suffering, sorrowful, supplicating, holding on to God? My friend, sometimes God has got to take us so low to get us to the place of being blessable. Remember, God did not bless Adam and Eve after they sinned. God did not bless Joshua after Achan sinned in the camp. God does not, God will not bless sin. But here is a man who came to God and asked for the blessings of God. Can I say this? It's not only the priority that he gave in praying for grace and the purpose for blessing, but look at here with the passion with which he prayed. He just didn't say, God bless me. If you look at this portion of scripture, you will find that it's got that word, oh, oh, that you would bless me indeed. My friend, that word oh is a sort of untranslatable word. You can't translate that word. It is an exclamation from the heart. It is the measure of desire. Oh, that you would bless. Here is a man, my friend, who is so intense that out of his heart comes this oh. A.W. Tozer said that sadly in our churches, in our prayer meetings today, we've lost the oh. We've lost the passion. Could that be true in our individual lives? Could it be so this morning that, my friend, where once God blessed you, you've lost out, you've lost the passion, you've lost the love, the desire? Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. It is a picture of David when he said, as the hart pants after the water, brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Extreme desire for blessing. There is so much we could say about this petition. He was praying for blessing. He was making it a priority. It was filled with passion. Incidentally, if you look at this prayer, you will find that it was very personal without being selfish. Oh, that you would bless me. Gypsy Smith, it was, who was speaking at one of the great conventions in England. He said that when he prayed for revival, he drew a circle and stood inside the circle and prayed and said, oh, God sent revival inside this circle. My friend, it is relatively easy to pray in a glib way for revival in our land and revival in our nation and blessing on our church. But here's a man who took his own responsibility seriously, individually, and said, oh, that you would bless me. I say that this morning because even as we pastor and work for the Lord there in Banbridge, and we long and we earnestly pray for a blessing, my friend, we do not put it past ourselves. I need revival. I need the stirring of God. I need the blessing of God. We know that verse over there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that says, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But then Paul went on to say this word, wherefore, for this reason I obtained mercy. For this reason I obtained mercy. That in me first, God might show forth a long suffering to those who should hereafter believe on his name. That me first, my friend, wasn't in a sense of being selfish. It was a me first of saying, oh God, if you're going to do a work, begin it in me first. And that's exactly how and where Jabez was. He was praying for the enrichment of blessing. Jabez. Does his circumstance find a parallel in your life? Does his desire for blessing find a parallel in your heart? He prayed for the enrichment of blessing. If you look at this prayer, you will find that he then followed this by praying for the enlargement of his border. That's what he prayed there when he said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Incidentally, here is a man, and we don't know how far he had got along, but he wasn't content with status quo. He wanted more. Here is a man who wasn't content with where he was in his spiritual walk with God. He wanted to go higher. He wanted to know deeper depths. He wanted to go farther with God. Enlarge. maybe it was that he was standing with the responsibility of a work for God and wanted to see that work grow. But I suggest to you this morning, but here is a man who perhaps wanted wider influence in his life, deeper love for the Savior, stronger faith in Jehovah, and a growing knowledge of his word. Enlarge. When Peter wrote his epistle to the church that was scattered abroad at that time, he admonished them at the end of his little letter by saying this, that they should grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is gone. Can I just hang these last two thoughts? Not only the man who prayed for the enrichment of blessing and the man who prayed for the enlargement of his border, but the man who prayed for the enablement of God's presence. For he simply said, that thy hand would be upon me. That is, not only the hand of God to guide him, but the hand of God to guard him. You remember Nehemiah, and again Ezra, as Ezra went to Jerusalem, and as Nehemiah went to the king, he said these words, and the good hand of my God was upon me. It's a great thing to have the hand of God with us. And that's all that this man was asking. Oh, that thy hand would be upon me, with me. My friend, I'll tell you this. It's a hard road to travel if we're traveling on our own. But thank God with the hand of God with us. And the presence of God with us. Then there's not a foe can stand against us. Yes, he prayed for the enablement of God's presence, and then he prayed to ensure God's protection, that you may keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. It's very interesting how this prayer ends. This prayer ends where Jabez began. You see where it says this word, that it may not grieve me. The word grieve is the word Jabez. It is exactly the same word as his name. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand will be upon me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that I may not be a Jabez. I was born in sorrow and distress, but Lord, don't make my life sorrow and distress. Change me. Use me. Glorify your name. As I finish this morning, can I ask this? What is your name? Where are you in your growth with God today? Content with the status quo? What are you praying for? My friend, if God was to answer your prayer, how would your life be? How would this church be? I trust today we'll learn, we'll take the prayer of Jabez and make it our individual supplication.